This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Todd Zartowski, Chief Medical Technology Officer and Chief of Telehealth at Providence, based in Renton, Washington. Dr. Zartowski, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I know we've got a lot to talk about in terms of virtual care, telehealth, and some of the other technology initiatives that you're heading up there at Providence. But before we dive into our discussion, I was wondering, could you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. So I'm a neurologist by training, actually trained in neurology and infectious disease. But for the last 15 years or so, I've been working in hospital-based services, neurohospitalist and stroke, and also telehealth. So really became passionate about telehealth a little over 10 years ago, and have gotten all in on it. and that has been the focus of both Providence and myself trying to transform care.
Absolutely. Wow. So you have had such a long history of identifying telehealth as something that's going to be extremely important and working towards that. What has it been like in the past year or so in really seeing that explode, not only at Providence, but across the country?
Yeah, it's been quite a ride, I will tell you. The analogy I use is, you know, I spent better part of a decade, really more than a decade, trying to convince people, a lot of physicians and less so patients, but a lot of old school physicians, I would say, providers who really were reticent and skeptical of virtual care and telehealth. And it was kind of like rolling a boulder up a hill. Felt like at times it was going to come down and crush me. And then when the pandemic hit, you know, that boulder started coming down and accumulating snow, if you will, to become a giant snowball. And it really took off almost overnight out of necessity. So fun to watch and to be part of. And really, I do think that this is the right thing for our communities, for our patients, and hopefully it will be one of the few positive things to come out of this pandemic going forward.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And I know there's a lot of excitement around that, really from all corners, like you mentioned, from patients and now more physicians and health systems. So it'll be great to see how that pans out. Now, I know Providence went from around 70,000 telehealth visits in 2019 for the entire year to about 70,000 per week when the pandemic hit. And that's obviously a dramatic increase. What was that process like and what did you learn?
So we were fortunate in that one of the things that we had done prior to the pandemic is we actually had an enterprise telehealth team. So, you know, Providence is a pretty large organization in the Western United States, and we had consolidated all of our telehealth offerings at the regional level into one system-wide telehealth team. Doing so really had enabled us to be able to respond quickly. We had experts that could help every corner of the organization enable telehealth, train providers, make sure we had supply chain for the equipment, optimization of it with our EHR and with the patient experience and the provider experience. So I think having that structure in place pre-COVID was fortuitous and probably the most important part of our response, quite honestly. And I would say that the thing that we learned was how to do things quickly, you know, whereas before there were no shortage of barriers. I will say that this crisis really did open up the door for folks to think differently and to imagine what could be as opposed to giving us all the reasons why we couldn't do this. And so as an organization, it was a learning experience, and fortunately, as the data showed, we turned it on very, very quickly around the third week in March, I think March 23rd to be specific, of 2020. We enabled over 7,000 providers to suddenly be telehealth providers, And eventually that number grew to over 15,000 across the organization, of folks actively doing telehealth and virtual visits in one way or another.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. And, you know, I know in some places they saw an initial surge of telehealth and virtual care visits, and then that kind of leveled off or declined as the months wore on. But, you know, at Providence, you've been able to sustain some of that virtual health engagement since that initial telehealth transition. What have you done differently to make sure that that happened?
Yeah, it's a great question. I will say there's, you know, when you look at our data, whether it's our direct to consumer offering, Express Care Virtual, or our COVID home monitoring program, which has now monitored over 22,000 patients, keeping them safe in their homes, or our clinic visits, primary care and specialty care, we, for each of those areas, we have seen peaks during the surges that correspond very well with those surges. In fact, our direct-to-consumer low acuity offering has been predictive of surges. It those numbers tend to start going up, those visits, prior to increases in our COVID positive numbers in our ecosystem. So that has been kind of interesting to see play out. But overall, yeah, there's been a decline, and I would say a plateauing of visits. That peak I referenced before, where we were at close to, you know, 16, 17,000 visits in a single day, over 200,000 visits in a month. It has come down as things have opened up in between the surges, but it didn't drop off a cliff. I mean, it really has leveled off. And I think last count, let's see, in August, I think we were just north of 110,000 visits for the month, and expect that number to actually be higher in September, given the current surge. And it looks like on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis, the numbers have gone up again some. So never since the beginning days of the pandemic, as an organization, we've never gone below 100,000 in a month. So it's still, you know, more than we were doing an entire year historically. And so I do think that it has staying power now. And there's a lot of factors, including what happens with CMS when the public health emergency goes away, in terms of reimbursement and things like that, which will clearly drive where telehealth goes in terms of volumes. But overall, I think it's been around long enough now that our providers understand the value it brings, our patients understand the value it brings, and people are a lot more comfortable with it. And had this just been a 3-month experience, or maybe 3 to 6 months, I don't think you would have seen the sustainability. The fact that this has gone on for over a year, year and a half, I believe it's here to stay.
Got it. That's really great to hear. And you know, in looking at how telehealth could evolve in the future, what is kind of driving some of the changes? Are there any iterations that you've made recently, that whether it's making it easier on the patients or for the health system on the back end? What have you been able to refine about your telehealth and virtual care offerings?
Yeah, we're always looking to improve and iterate, and I would say that's been one of the lessons that has led to us being able to have it be sustainable is just that continued improvement. The big changes that we've made, and really it wasn't one sort of wholesale thing. It's been small steps, small iterations, I think, that have improved the experiences. And again, we've sort of had the lens of patient, care team, provider, right? There's almost three legs to it, if you will, because our office MAs are just as important as our providers and being able to make it a seamless experience, and our telehealth team working kind of behind the scenes to make sure that that it's all set up properly and that it's a seamless experience for all three aspects of that care delivery. some of the changes that we've made, just to call out, we've done closer integration with the EHR. We happen to be an Epic organization, and so integrating the virtual solution into Epic so that it's a seamless experience for the provider. It's easier for the patient to connect using existing, either a secure text or logging into MyChart, things that many of them are already comfortable doing. Having it be part of that process, not something that's entirely foreign, entirely new, or something that, I see my doctor every 6 months, I got to remember how to log on and do something different. Taking that friction out of the experience and having it just be easy for them, I think has been probably one of the things that really has driven the sustainability of it. And there's no limit to better. So I think we can always improve on it. And I think a lot of the things that you'll see going forward will be around that. Will be around kind of the overall experience and adding digital tools around the actual virtual visit aspect.
Got it. That really makes a lot of sense. And it kind of answers my next question here. But, how do you see telehealth and virtual care evolving in the next 1 to 3 years at Providence? What can make it better? Obviously, assuming that the insurance and Medicare pay structure is there for telehealth and virtual care visits, which I know will have an impact on how things move forward. But in an ideal world, where are trends headed, whether it's consumer or other digital technologies that maybe aren't quite ready for prime time but have some promise? I'd just love to hear from you what you're excited about.
Yeah, I think that optimization of the experience that I mentioned is going to be a huge part of it. If you think about all the other aspects of your life that you use digital tools on your smart device, whether it's buying groceries in some cases, or getting on an airplane, or banking, almost every aspect of our lives now is tied to that digital experience. And healthcare is behind in that regard. And I think the pandemic has helped accelerate that. But I think that experience, including the telehealth aspect of it, the virtual part, will continue to get better and better over the next several years. In addition to that, I would say just sort of globally thinking about where we're focused and where I see the field going and things that we're going to invest in and improve upon. I mentioned COVID home monitoring. We have done a lot of work around moving patients out of our facilities, out of our urgent cares and EDs, and trying to keep them safe at home. That trend, I think, is here to stay. We're going to see more and more care delivered outside of the traditional care settings, our towers and office buildings and things like that. So home monitoring, both of acute and chronic conditions, I think is going to continue to increase, especially as we see more value-based care emerging over the next several years. And I would say the other thing that we're extremely excited about, we recently launched our hospital at home offering. So Providence Hospital at Home is now live and enrolling patients that really are higher acuity patients that qualify for admission to the hospital. And that includes a very significant telehealth component where we're watching those patients 24 hours a day, keeping them safe. But there's a whole bunch of other aspects that go into that as well, and very complicated and involved operationally. But we believe that it will, it brings the hospital to the patient, if you will, and huge satisfaction from the patients, just off the charts. So I think that's something that we'll continue to iterate on, improve upon. And then the last thing is just, optimizing that hybrid care model where, not all visits are going to need to be done in person. Not all visits are going to be appropriate for virtual. And so figuring out what that sweet spot is in terms of a hybrid model and, how much office space do you need? How many clinic staff do you need? How many, how often do you need to see someone in person versus a virtual visit? Those are things that really are not well established. And if you think about the history of medicine, we've been seeing patients in their homes or in the clinic for you know, 100 plus years now, we've been doing this level of virtual visits for less than 2 years in terms of kind of at scale. So understanding that and optimizing that experience for both the provider, the care team, and the patient is going to take a few years to optimize.
Well, Dr. Sartowski, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.